Fire chief's report.
Director Tisch, tab 11. Again, for, I don't plan to go in this line by line into detail, but obviously I'll hit the highlights. And again, if there's any questions that you may have in this, please call me, see me. But obviously, I wanted to address some of the key operational activities that are taking place in, you know, this month in February, moving into March. And as you know, we had the departure of, resignation departure of two firefighters leaving for another agency. As a result of those two vacancies, you actually get to see in front of you what the staffing profile looks like and how many personnel. And again, I'm talking about suppression personnel only. This does not take into account the division chiefs, acting division chiefs, and so forth. This is engine company personnel. And you'll see that we have total suppression personnel, about 16. 11 of those are paramedics, and 10 of those are driver operators. Depending upon what happens at the appellate court level, if it looks like the appellate court comes out and rules and says that, you know, transition can occur, then obviously, you know, that will happen within, I assume, between, depending upon the state personnel board, it would have to get before them on their calendar. Let's assume that, you know, that takes a month or whatever it may be. Well, during that time frame, we can absorb having these two vacancies with overtime. Okay. However, if that decision is delayed or if that thing is put off and says, you know, other things have changed with that, then I am going to come back and I am going to recommend that we look at filling these vacancies to go over. What concerns me is obviously as we move into the busy time of year with double days, vacations, and, you know, I don't know about the possibilities of other folks still leaving. I don't want to find myself in a position as an organization where, one, I don't have enough people to cover the vacancies, and I'm having to force hold under the circumstances. We can explore some other options that have been discussed. Those options can include a change in the work schedule as well. So if we need to reflect more of a 3-4 type schedule, obviously that is something that we can discuss, and we can talk about pros and cons, and that is a what we call a CAL FIRE type schedule. However, the third day there is overtime, and that's a fixed overtime day with the employees working 3 straight days, third day's overtime, 3 days off. That just allows us with less bodies to be able to do this, but I still believe that if the decision is delayed, I think it's important for us to get, you know, at least these two vacancies and maybe others filled. But the organizational issue there is the impacts of bringing in, you know, small to moderate numbers or large numbers of new employees to the district and that process of training them and getting them ready to go. So, you know, we have to weigh that out. But obviously, you know, a lot's going to be based on what we hear in the next room. But I want to, you know, bring that to your attention now. When we hear, I'll have further on that. Also, I talked to you about the ERAF rebate, and this kind of breaks it down on the bottom of page 1. It talks about, you know, $360,000 and the $94,000 that we received for Half Moon Bay and Point Montero. And then the second page, continued, gives you the breakdown of that information. You know, what 2004 is, 2007, 2008. Less net reserves, what that number is. I was really shocked. I thought the governor was going to try to make some sort of something, at least on one of those years, that he was going to hold something up. I was quite surprised.
Maybe still.
Yeah. San Mateo County RFP for emergency ambulance services. I'm not going to belabor this point. I think Director Lee did a good job. Director Slade did a good job of kind of pointing to the points that we were trying to make. And what you have there on those 5 bullet points is really what the executive committee is dealing with. So you can read that through. And if you have any questions, please see me. I will try to keep the entire board up to speed on this issue through correspondence. So you're in the loop on what's taking place. Calls for service. This is now, if you go back to item 4 there, this statistical information, I combined them both for you. The end of the year for 2007. And then obviously what we did in January of 2008, and this is a synopsis of from January to December, January through December.
February 2008.
That should be January 2008. 2008. Yeah, this is one year we're kind of 1 month. And what I'm going to try to do is public safety communications, working with them to be able to give me the kind of statistical information for you each month. And it's going to be in the format that is in the back of this. But those are the highlights, and you'll see that some of the other reports go into more detail. You'll see the average time. You'll see what they spend on calls, the type of calls they're going to. And, you know, obviously, you know, if you look at the prime months, you'll see that December and January were large numbers. You know, the storms that came through really impacted the organization.
Chief, if I read this correctly, we had in January of 2007, we had 216 calls versus 312 this year. Wow, that is one. huge increase.
Yeah, we had the, it was the storms that came through, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
January was a nasty month. We had two major storms.
How many vehicles?
Over 20.
Again, and this information, again, this is the information that's provided from Public Safety Communications, so I get this right from the captain.
I'm delighted it's here. It's things that we need to understand and factor into some of our decisions.
And if you look at what each of the crews, what each, I should say, the stations are averaging, it goes from, you know, about a 3 here at this house, the busier station, about a 1, a 1 call a day at some of the outlying stations. So, you know, when you factor that in, you start looking at the amount of time that they spend on calls, you know, between 20 and 35 minutes, not including those, you know, those fully first alarm assignments on structured fires and so forth. So that's just some statistical data. Item 5, AMR system status plan. Again, this is right out of their document, and I provided copies of this for you to kind of look at. And as you know, we turned the ambulance back over some time ago to AMR on the control, if you will, and staffing of Medic 440. What they have since done is they have since changed the posting requirements for that ambulance. They are now allowing that unit to be posted at Highway 92 and Skyline and going to what they call Post 6 into San Mateo. And what I'm working with them on is to ensure that, you know, when they're at low levels over the other side of the hill, and low levels can be for a number of reasons. One, we can have adequate call volume, which is depleting that. However, there are times when they're capable of getting the units staffed up. And so the burden has shifted to the fire service in the sense that now engine companies are being asked to remain on scene longer, waiting for that ALS transport. Sometimes BLS ambulance are coming or a fine. And or now the fire ambulance providers historically have been able to kind of backfill to fill that. Well, that's a change for us because our activation of our backup ambulance by the contract was based on when this unit was called for service, 440 went to Pescadero, ran a call on the coast side, we would, you know, activate the backup ambulance. Now what's happening, and I'm putting a stop to this, is when 440 goes to Post 6 just on a move, they've tried to activate our ambulance over here, and that, so what I'm going to have to do, remember the 441 contract is a standalone contract from what we had before, and there's certain conditions I think I need to revisit with them, because we haven't discussed that since 1998, but I'm watching that very closely. And what concerns me is if they're posting at 92 and 35, the delayed response back into the coast side. As a note here, too, what they also did is when 403 now is gone, what they started to do is post 440 into post 44. In one day, Chief Cosby gave me the statistical information, in one 24-hour period, they posted 440 from here up to there over 20 to over 30 times to move that thing up there. So they're even recognizing, wow, that's a whole lot of movement. So I think they've stopped that from 8 to 5. It's between 8 to 5, anything after 5 p.m., they're no longer there. Now, that's still on the coast side. So, you know, I'm okay with it's still available on the coast, whether it's in El Dorado or Point Montero. But what concerns me is they're now posting out over the open. This discussion, obviously, with the new provider, if it may be AMR, it could be Rural Metro, it could be Paramedics Plus. These are the folks that we are looking at as potential bidders for this process. That I think, and I will come to you with further staff reports, I do not want to relinquish the whole idea of not having a backup ambulance on this coast side. And I think we need to explore how we can maintain and maybe enhance that capability through some other options that we have. But it's a great training tool, it's a great resource tool, and I think that we need to maintain that.
So the current contract that we have on 441, A, is not a very good contract. B, AMR agreed not to change any of it. And see, they have previously tried to take 440 over the hill on low ambulance availability, and it was up to the battalion chief or to the division chief on duty to make sure that they knew where the ambulance was, why it was there, where it was when 441 was getting activated. So it's nothing that's really new, but they're trying to make it a policy for themselves.
Yeah, when they go to level 0, they can go to 6, and then when they get to level 3, they still post on Highway 92 and 35, and that's. Like I said, it's how they want to look at how they use the backup ambulance. So what concerns me, that backup ambulance is not 24/7. There are days, you know, when I don't have an ambulance driver. So if they're not available, then it's a delayed response coming in.
There are days that Doug and I run the ambulance, we get to Stanford and go out of service and come all the way back here just so they couldn't use us over the hill.
They posted 35, whatever it was, that many years ago.
Same thing.
When you guys were on the ambulance, you could do that.
What's that?
When you were on the ambulance, you could do that.
Well, now the AMR has it.
You can't do it.
My concern is I'm controlling the 441 piece of this issue. That's where I put my foot down, is on that piece of this issue. So, again, I bring that to your attention. I've heard through the rumor mill that their operations chief wants to meet with me to discuss use of Med 441. So that's not going to be done at any level outside of my level. I don't want, you know, firefighters and engineers. It's a contract with the district. I represent that. It comes to me, and then I present to you. And I want to make that clear on that reporting relationship with AMR, because, you know, side this and talk here and broker that.
$3,000, $30 an hour for 100 hours and $300 free. And that's it. And then the transport is supposed to go up. I don't know if we got the number.
We did. It went up CPI this month. That number finally came in.
It goes up every year, CPI for the transport.
San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. I look at it as just more service to our constituency. I mean, Coastside's isolated, and it's from our southern borders
absolutely.
And look, over the hill, you know, we're used to, when they go to system status zero, when there's no more ambulances, they get BLS ambulances from other companies, because we're not isolated. It's very simple. Then we just send a firefighter and that ambulance to the hospital. But on the coastside, we're so isolated, we don't have, you know, that ability.
That was the whole premise behind having a second ambulance. Very good thinking. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. And I don't want to see a degradation of service.
Oh, no, that's why we should be putting paramedics on the ambulance.
So, Chief, I like what you're doing.
Yeah. And there's a $2,500 fine every time AMR does that, too.
My question is, does the JPA have any their response times requirements percentages under the current contract?
For 90%
first responder.
For ambulance.
Yeah.
And that they were required to meet within each zone. And I'm wondering, do we have the numbers as to how they're doing on that?
I have the engine stuff, but I don't have the ambulance piece to that. The JP, they don't produce in the spreadsheet, which called exception reports and compliance reports. You know, nobody gets a fine if they maintain the 95%. You know, we historically.
Look in the RFP, it shows all the previous.
Yeah. I don't have the stats to be able to tell you how often they.
At the previous. The stats are in the article.
From the previous?
Yeah. Look in there. It shows like 90 and 80. You know, I mean, it shows all their stats.
For
the zones and the percentages
of time compliance? Or?
Yeah.
Because they were supposed to be 90% within the zone, or they were. It's just a talking point as you talk about the capabilities of the provider for meeting the.
Yeah, move on. Okay. Radio and station alerting equipment. I've shared with you all the documentation that I can in your packet, so you're up to speed on what's going on in the county. There's the new FCC regulations that are going to take effect 2013, and these are not cheap things. You know, we have to go to narrow banding. Each of these stations, Zetron communications equipment has to change. So we, over the next few fiscal years, are going to have to start budgeting through, you know, our program base to meet this need. Next year we're talking about replacing the Kenwoods, making sure that we have the MSTs that are going to be finally approved. We don't know which vendor that's going to be, all the way up to, you know, laptops that may be used. So the document that you have in front of you in your packet kind of gives you on the last page kind of a breakdown. And I'll tell you, you're looking at approximately $17,000 to $20,000 per unit on what it's going to take to upgrade the communications equipment.
Yep.
When is that going to affect?
Per unit, 2013. Yes. And again, a lot can change between, but the chiefs, we're moving forward. We are trying to get a grant writer. In fact, at the chief's level, we've tasked, I think, Chief Chapelhoman's group, right, John, has that. So we're looking at writing a grant from the county communications technology point to offset some of these costs. And then Zetron, 12 grand, and 12,000 to press the button. Yeah, just amazing. That's it. Seventh, commendations. Pleased to announce to you that I received from the Board of Supervisors, and you have it in there, the commendations for Captain Steve Cardozzi, Captain John Riddell, firefighter John Beamstein, and firefighter Jason Morehouse. They've got a commendation for assisting in the firefighting efforts of the fall of 2007 going south, and it was nice to see that they have those commendations been placed in their personnel files, and you know, I just want to recognize and acknowledge their efforts here before you today.
How about a press release?
I should put something together on that when this came out. I just got those up before. Okay. Yes, good point. Eight, last volunteer fire department patch. The volunteers have submitted their patch for the volunteers, and it's based on, you have an example of it in there. The bottom rocker is different for their patch. It's going to say volunteers on the bottom. They took the logo design of Coastside Fire District and kind of enhanced it, and it fits with the Coastside and it gives them some identity. So I think I approved that. It looks good. And, they did a committee and they did a good job on putting that together. So if I may, last, what's not in here, but I want to address the issues before you now. There has been a great deal of discussion, I think, that you heard earlier today in public comments about actions that may be taking place up at Station 44. I have to tell the board that yes, we have had some significant occurrences, if you will. Depends on how you view that term. A lot of this can be contributed to a number of factors. New personnel being there, training issues, operational oversight. But what I can assure you is that myself, as far as representing the Coastside Fire Protection District, that when these things occur, I am in direct correspondence with Chief Ferreira, and operationally we are addressing every single one of these issues. None of these issues, whether they're, and yes, we have had the engine company get lost going to a call. Yes, we have had two accidents that have occurred up there. Yes, people don't know the district and they need to know the district. All of those things, some are, you can say, are truly accidents, and those happen. Not excusing them, there are consequences. But what I want to assure you is that we, as representative of this district, are addressing this. You know, task books are developed for each of those people rotating through. Dedicated training sessions, both in district familiarization and equipment familiarization, to ensure that the people that are going to be assigned there, and I'm even talking to Chief Ferreira about limiting the numbers of people that are being exposed to this for the first time. And so they just rebid in January, so we're back to that training. We can address this. The issue is, what I don't want you to think, is that things are being hidden, things are being reported, and I am personally not dealing with this. I can guarantee you, when these occur, I'm made aware of it, and that's the key point. I would ask every board member here that if you talk to a firefighter in this organization, if you talk to a citizen and they bring these concerns to you, I would respectfully request that you bring that to me. And that give me the opportunity as your fire chief to address those issues and not let these things fester and take up a whole life of their own. And I don't care how innocuous the issue is or myopic it may be in some ways, please bring it to my attention. The littlest thing I want to know about, because there's such scrutiny that, you know, there's a whole lot of tension, and I want to make sure we address these things, you know, at the management level and also at the operations level. Okay. Excuse me. And so we're going to continue. There's going to be some meetings scheduled with some of these, and we're looking into the accidents. And there have been in these occurrences full blown accident investigations that I can't get into because they're personnel related issues, but there's actions and things that are going to be taking place in that arena, okay? So it's very important. When you hear these things, please bring it to my attention.
So they're being addressed.
Thank you. Yes, I want to make sure all the answers are there. And if, you know, it gets to the point where we need to have further discussions as a full body, I will bring it to the board's attention. This is what's going on up there. You know, I don't want you to be, you know, again, things have happened. Absolutely. You know, and it's to a degree, new people coming into an organization, there's a time frame where you can expect those types of things. It's not acceptable, by no means. I'm not saying that's an acceptable issue. I'm saying, no, what we want is we don't want those things to occur. We're obligated to address those so they don't happen again or minimize the exposure to that. Okay? So those are operational issues that I'm dealing with Chief Ferreira.
If I may, Chief, I think if you live in a glass house, per the Papillon Bay or Coastside firefighters, you should not throw rocks. We all know that things happen every day, everywhere. So
Chief, what you said, I don't disagree with it. You absolutely have to be on top of exactly what you're saying. You know, I can recall in previous meetings, long before CAL FIRE was around here, some things were brought to the board's attention that were just oversights and accidents and various other things that take place. I mean, it happens. I mean, that's just part of it. There's no, nobody's doing it deliberately and so forth. And there's some people that sometimes there's an agenda that goes along with some of these things reporting. I just like to make sure that you're objective and take a look at all of them and fix them all the way they should be.
How much does that new engine cost on engine 40?
Yeah, I was going to say.
$30,000?
Yeah. Okay, let's go on, Chief.
That's all I have, sir.
Oh.
That concludes my report.
Other comments? I'd like to, first of all, acknowledge Chief Ferrer for being here. Thank you, Chief, for spending time with us this evening. It's been exciting. I'm sure you're really thrilled to participate with us.
You know, I was honestly, very glad to see the very animated discussion about which preferred broadcast you were going to do. And then they hit off me for a while.
A couple of minor things. When people were speaking from the podium, I noticed you haven't had the co-sign.
It's going to be funny trying to pull that one. I've got Ed that's working on
same size, right?
One question.
Yeah, and then, one last point I'd make. And Chief didn't call attention to the letter that was that he was actually went to me. It was from the city manager of Half Moon Bay, Marcia Rain, commending Chief Cole for his efforts. And I think that's really exceptional. Unsolicited letter from her, and I think that is just outstanding. And I compliment you. Thank you, Chief, for your good work. By the way, did we send back for a thank you?
It's waiting for your CEO. Yes.
Okay, great.
Terrific. Again, please, in the correspondence, if there's any questions with stuff, some classes, and what's going on. Yes, sir.
No, I'm not.
Greg,
see ya.
Greg.
Chief, quick question on the staffing portion of your memo.
Yes, sir.
I see there's 18 positions, two open. How many are actually budgeted? It's greater than the 18.
31.
For the two stations?
Oh, no, just for the we don't have a separate budget. The budget was for just the two. We have the CAL FIRE contract for $1,093,000 for the staffing of 44. So that's the contract number to put the numbers to staff 7 days a week, three people on that engine company up in 44.
Okay, so 31 suppression total. So we've got the two spots. I assume whenever there's vacation, sickness, et cetera, somebody's...
Yes, sir.
When that happens, somebody's covering on overtime.
Yes, sir.
Forced if necessary?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir. And that's my concern.
Yeah, you had made the point that it gets difficult to bring new people in now to train them on, have the shifts train them and get them acclimated. It doesn't seem to me, just to make the point, that it's going to be any easier if more people leave. So we had that discussion earlier, but when we bring that up again, I will certainly look forward to moving to get some more people in here.
Yeah,
continue to bleed people.
Yeah, based on what that appellate court tells us, we'll kind of solidify for me my recommendation to you on how we want to move forward with staffing. Because the transition doesn't occur, we need to readdress this quick.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.